following message is from New Life Gillette series, All In. This week, Pastor Mike brings us part four of this series.
Well, good morning. Let me say welcome to those of you who are watching online, to the guys over at the prison, and to those of you who are here in the room. Did you know that almost 1 in 10 people, we discovered from a recent survey we did, almost 1 in 10 people in Gillette come through our doors every single year at least once? That is a big deal. That means New Life has a lot of influence in our community, right? So the things that are going on here should at some time be talked about around town. Like, New Life is doing this and it's helping the community in this way. New Life is doing this and it's helping the community in this way. That word has to spread if we've got 1 in 10 people coming through our doors at least once in a year. That's a big deal. My son and I have been going to Flight Zone. That's the trampoline park down the street. And we've been going pretty often for a couple of reasons. Number one, because I want to be Superman. Or Hulk, whichever. If you want some Fat Man Superman lessons, I'll take you to Flight Zone with me sometime. But we go there for multiple reasons. Number one, I need the exercise. Number two, my son needs to get out of the house or else he starts turning into a kid you don't want to be around. And number three, I think our community needs things like this. I think Gillette needs some opportunities to get out of the house when we've got a 10-month winter. I think Gillette needs some opportunities for people to fellowship with people that they don't know, to meet people that they don't know. But the reality is, the number of things, options for us to meet people that we don't already know is sometimes limited, right? Like, if you want to meet people, like get to know people outside of your house, how do you do it? Well, you can try the social media route. That hasn't worked too well with making new friends for me. But really, there's like the bars, which is the way most people choose to make friends and build relationships in town. Or you got the church. And so we kind of feel like that in order to fully follow Christ and do our life the way Jesus did his life, we have to surround ourselves with like-minded people, build community and build fellowship, because we want to build community within our community like Jesus did. Later on, we're going to talk about how Jesus built this community. And he walks up to some people and he's like, hey, come follow me. And they dropped everything and followed him. And he spent his entire life building community with these few people. And so we kind of feel like we're going to follow in Christ's footsteps in this way. Watch this.
My name is Charity Bach, and I'm one of the host team guest guides. And I just want to thank everyone at New Life. The church has been an amazing family to me. For endless amounts of years, I have prayed for a family, and I thought that God just wasn't answering my prayers. Truth is, he did answer them, just not the way I wanted him to answer them. He answered it even better than I could ever imagine. He has blessed me with so many amazing people in this church, and listening to everyone's stories and their trials and hearing how they overcame all of their pain and suffering has just inspired me to be a better person, and I can't thank the church enough.
I have a dream that New Life will be an unignorable part of our community. That when New Life is doing something, it is making an impact in people's lives in a way that is just kind of unignorable. That we're portraying Jesus in a way that just is totally irresistible. And so in order for us to do that, we just have to kind of be a part of everything, right? I mean, there's enough of us in our church that if we are all in for this Christian mission thing, we can make a major difference in our community. And we're on our way. We have not arrived there, but we're on our way to doing that. We have ministries like Blessings in a Backpack and life groups and Embrace Grace that helps single moms and young moms, or Embrace Life. We have a prison ministry and a VOA ministry, and we have New Life Youth, and we invest in other organizations around town like the Salvation Army and the Women's Resource Center and the Boys and Girls Club. We provide a place for a Hispanic church to meet, Rio de Dios. And we feel like we're doing a lot of things in our community in order to make that happen, but we're just getting started, we feel like. And what I've just mentioned is just the local ministries. That's not even to mention all the international ministries. That's not to mention the Purchase Project missions and Mission Lazarus and all of that stuff. Because we believe that in order to fully become who God created us to be, we have to be on a mission. We have to be accomplishing something. And so we see that in the way that Jesus lived his life when he called his followers and he goes to these guys and they're fishing and he performs a miracle and he says, come, follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. In other words, Jesus is saying, come and become. Come and become. This is why our mission is not just we're going to get together and fellowship. It's a twofold mission. We come and then we become somebody that we're not already. And if we're going to follow this example, we recognize that the becoming part is all about fishing for people. Our purpose is a who. We fish for people. We love people. And then they left their nets at once and followed Jesus. And this is nuts. Christians sometimes are crazy. Hey, Dad, the guy on shore is telling us that we should follow him. So we're just going to leave our family business here and see ya. We're following that bearded dude. And they just dropped everything. Later on in the story, it tells us that they left their father behind and followed Jesus. In other words, they left the family business. They left all their tools. They left all their livelihood. Left it all behind and followed Jesus. And that's crazy to think about. But the reality is that to some extent, if you want to be a fully devoted follower of Christ, if you want to be all in, we are all going to have to do something similar. We are all going to have to give something. And that is because purpose always has a price. If you are going to adopt a new purpose in life, a new mission in life, you're going to have to leave something behind that was there before you had that purpose, before you had that mission. We all have to give something to fully give ourselves to God. Now, it costs some people more than others, right? I mean, if you live in a country that doesn't have religious freedom, freedom of worship, if you live in some countries, just simply calling yourself a Christian will cause you pain. That's not so much true in our case, right? Like, we actually have freedom that allows us to accomplish more before we ever start to feel that pain. But we believe that God has given us this freedom and these opportunities for a reason. And when God gives us 5 bags of gold to invest, he doesn't expect us just to sit on it. He expects us to do something with the gifts and with the opportunity that he's given us. So when our purpose costs us something, that is probably a good thing, right? That kind of means that we're following the correct path. Our purpose should cost us something. And if our purpose should cost us something, what is our purpose? Our purpose is to fish for people. And don't elbow your wife and say that the pastor said you need to fish more often. Or maybe that's true. I don't know. But it's a metaphor. When you go fishing, what do? You come up with a strategy. You invest time and energy and bait to draw fish to a hook of some kind. That's what fishing is. We are attracting fish to a hook when we fish. That's what we do. Well, as Christians, we do something very similar. Our mission as Christians to fish for people is to draw people to God. Jesus kind of used 2 different metaphors when he talked about this. He talked about fishing for people. Then later he would actually talk about planting seeds, like planting seeds of faith, and then harvesting what grows as a result of those seeds. That's another way he talked about drawing people to him. And what I've discovered throughout my ministry is that there are 2 primary ways that Christians plant seeds of faith in other people. The first is adoption. That's kind of what we've been talking about, another metaphor. Adoption is about inviting people to join the family of God. It's about reaching lost people. This is adoption. You're not a follower of Christ, but I'm going to tell you how you can be adopted into the family of Christ. This is why we want New Life to have high quality worship services. We want flashy lights and stuff that maybe you like and maybe you don't, but the flashy lights and stuff get people to come who wouldn't necessarily come otherwise. This is why we want Kids Zone not just to teach the big story of God's love and not just to teach them the stories of the Bible, but also to be a lot of fun, because when a kid comes to Kids Zone, it's fun. They tell their friend, it's fun, and they come. This is growth. This is planting seeds of faith through adoption. But the second way that we plant seeds of faith could even be more important, I think. In fact, this is the way, the primary way by which every faith, every religion in history has grown. And this way is all about our own kids. So this is planting seeds of faith through procreation, through having babies and giving our faith to our children, raising them in a way that they follow the God that we have surrendered our lives to. Because how tragic would it be, parents, if we put all this money, changed all these diapers, bought all this clothes and shoes and junk. We put all this effort into raising our kids, and they grew up and they knew how to perform in society and they got good jobs, but their life was meaningless and they ended up in hell. What a tragedy. What a tragedy if we teach our kids how to be good people and how to be respected and how to run for office or get a promotion or whatever, and then they just end up with a meaningless life and they end up in hell. That's like the definition of tragedy. I'm the youngest of five kids, and my wife is the youngest of three kids. Do you say kids? We're all adults. I don't know how that works, but youngest children in our family. And let's just say our older siblings know how to have babies. They have a lot of babies. So there is a 10-year gap between me and my next oldest sibling. I have a twin, but we were the oops that came later in life. And all of my older brothers and sisters all have babies like crazy before I even get married. To be exact, I have 29 nieces and nephews. So having babies is just kind of what we do in my family. So when Darcy and I got married, we just assumed we had a plan. We're going to do the birth control thing for a year, and then we're going to get off birth control, and we're going to have babies. That was our plan. So a year into our marriage, on our anniversary, we decide, okay, let's start trying to have a kid. That was fun. The problem is it didn't work. We tried for years, which is weird in my family. When we first got married, we adopted all kinds of big bags of baby clothes, and we got a crib, and one of my sisters gave us a high chair and all these toys and everything. Like, we lived in an apartment when we first got married, and our guest bedroom was just the baby storage area. Like, for when we get kids, we just kind of set up the crib and put the clothes in the dresser. It's just, we're there. The problem is, because of some circumstances in our lives, we moved around a bunch when we first got married. Like, we were all over the place. We lived in Kansas City, and then we moved houses in Kansas City, and then we moved to Oklahoma, and then we switched houses in Oklahoma, and then we moved up to Wyoming. All the while, we're lugging these giant bags of baby clothes around with us, and at some point, I'm like, it would save us a lot of money, actually, to throw this stuff away. But the conversations I was having with God as we're getting more and more frustrated about not being able to get pregnant was kind of this: God, I have faith that you're going to give us children. So I'm going to keep these clothes. I'm going to keep this crib. I'm going to keep this high chair. I'm going to keep these toys just as a way of showing you that I have faith in you. Well, after a few years of not being able to get pregnant, we go to the doctor and we try some simple procedures, and the procedures get a little more difficult and then a little more difficult, and we go for the full-blown, as much IVF stuff and all that stuff as you can do, and procedure after procedure, year after year, a decade. Couldn't have kids. And if you've been through this, you know the up and down emotions and frustrations that can come as a result of, oh, are we pregnant? I think it may have worked. Didn't work. And so after our fourth IVF, you know how much money that is if you've ever been around it. I was furious with God. Like my faith had just been completely, I did not have enough faith. After our fourth IVF, I went out to our garage. We lived in the parsonage in the parking lot at this time. And I grabbed all those bags of clothes and I filled our dumpster. I had enough. I lost it. I dragged that crib and that high chair across the parking lot and threw them in the dumpster. I'd had enough. And I experienced a period of pain and darkness and anger that I had never experienced before in my life. And I went through a period of conversations with God in which I was saying words to God that you don't expect to say to God, right? You've had these kind of conversations with God. And we wrestled and we kept going and we kept pushing forward until miraculously, I think, our local doctor, Dr. Biggs, had an idea of a test she could try. It was a long odds, but she overruled our specialist doctor. And long story short, she found out that Darcy has a rare gene mutation that makes her have miscarriages on the second day of pregnancy. So what we didn't know is that it wasn't that we couldn't get pregnant, is that we were having miscarriage month after month after month after month and didn't even know it. The good news is that even though it's a negative diagnosis, there's a pill for it. Darcy takes a pill. That month we do an IVF. And I'm sitting in staff meeting at the church. And my phone rings and I look and it's Darcy. And I'm like, Darcy doesn't normally call me. She knows I'm in staff meeting. She knows, why is she calling me right now? So I step out in the hallway, and she is audibly shaken, I can tell. And I get to hear the words that I've been waiting a decade to hear. I'm pregnant. And it was, yeah, that's how I felt. And it was, get this, 10 years to the day from when we started trying to have kids. In the rush of emotions, the ups and the downs of that experience kind of framed all of what I think about when I think about my kids. I love my kids. And I just kind of feel like I have no greater calling than to invest everything I can in making sure that my children follow God with all of their hearts, that they are fully devoted followers of Christ. And I'm pretty positive that I don't love my kids more than you do, but I love my kids a lot. And I'm ready and willing to do whatever it takes to guarantee as much as I can that they are seeking God with all their hearts. And I look out in this audience and I see a lot of people, a lot of parents who have been those faithful parents who are ready to do whatever it took. Like I was going to do whatever it took. I could own a house in Hawaii for as much money as I spent to make Lincoln. Like, I was all in on this let's make a baby thing. And I look out in this audience and I see a lot of awesome parents who had the same mentality when it came to doing everything that they possibly could to make sure that their children were seeking God with all their hearts. Because we've recognized that there's not anything else that really matters that much. So we're going to do everything we can to make sure that that happens. And I think it's even bigger than just our families. I think we're setting an example for the world for how important this is. And I think Gillette even needs New Life to get this right, needs us as parents to get this right, needs us as pastors to get this right and to invest in our children as much as they deserve to be invested in. And I am a little biased in this, But I think we have a unique opportunity. I think there is no place like this place, near this place. So this must be the place. Like, God must have given us 5 bags of gold for a reason so that we can actually do something with it. So let's invest it. Let's, as a community, as a family, invest it as much as we can. Watch this.
I was born in Germany, and I lived there until the age of 11. I grew up in a Christian home and have always gone to church, been a part of church. When I was 11, my family moved to the States, and then after that moved back home to Germany and started college. And during that time in college is when I met my ex-husband, who was in the military station in Germany. And that is how I ended up in Wyoming, is because he was from Douglas. A few months later, we had that conversation of we should find a church to start going to. And we remembered, oh yeah, we saw that one big church off of 59. Why not start there? So that's how we decided to go to New Life. And then one day, someone from the church called me and said, hey, you know, this, I don't remember who it was, but they said, hey, I think you'd be really great on the host team. Would you want to serve on host team? And I was like, oh my goodness, and I said yes. And I'm not really sure when I transitioned from host team to serving in the nursery, but I'm pretty sure it was when Lydia was born. So as I was getting more involved and just serving in the church and getting to know lots of people and really getting connected, it was so awesome and I so loved it. But at the same time, things at home were not so good. My marriage started to crumble. My ex-husband is a veteran, and he suffers from PTSD, depression, anxiety, which is so heartbreaking because it's because he fought for this country. And he's an alcoholic. To drown those emotions and the memories and all the things that come with it. And coming to New Life on Sundays was a way to have peace, feel that love from my church family. I remember one Sunday, a friend of mine pulling me aside and saying, I feel like things aren't going well. I would come to church, smile on my face. Things are great. If people would ask, hey, how are you doing? Awesome, life is great. No one knew. And she noticed that my ex-husband was just different. And she pulled me aside and she said, hey, how are things going? How are you? And that was the first time that I ever really shared with someone, life is not good and things are not great. So my ex-husband, he was in and out of rehab. And after his second rehab, he was doing really well. I remember us having the conversation of life is so good and our marriage is great and it hasn't been this good in a long time. And so things were really good. And then I was at work one day and I came home and he had drank again after being sober for 8 months. So after a while, things didn't get better. And I had to find, I wanted to move out and I wanted us to live separately, but how do you financially make that happen? Being then, yes, married, but a single mom in a way, and then moving out of your home when income is still together, you have house payment, you have all those bills, how do you move out? And I just remember praying and talking to God and just saying, what's next? Where do I go from here? What do I do? And it was literally minutes later, I got a phone call from Paul. And he said, hey, we've been kind of throwing this idea around about a job opportunity at the church. Would you have some time to come in this week to talk? He said, you know, and there would be the opportunity to live in the church apartments and the job. And it was just like, is this really happening right now? And I remember I got off the phone. So I got off the phone with him and I just cried and fell to my knees. And it was just like, this is unbelievable. Because it literally went from, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go next. Here's a phone call from Paul saying, hey, we have a job and a place for you to live. Where it's just like God blows me away every little step of the way. Like these little nuggets just here and there where it's like, this happens and this happens. And it just, and what's so cool is I feel like I'm finally at that, like that part that I used to be excited about that I couldn't wait to get to, I feel like I'm there. So through this whole journey of just marriage falling apart, just emotionally being so just broken and hurt and living so far away from my family, there were weekends where all I wanted to do was just go home. But Jeremy's far away, so you can't just quick pop home to mom or brother, sister. But that's what I had, a new life. My weekends home were new life, where I had that brother, sister, that friend that pulls you aside and says, how are you doing, really? It's just so amazing, because without my church family and new life, I wouldn't be here. So now I'm on staff as the nursery coordinator. And it is so amazing to get to be a part of such a huge, like, impacting ministry. So I love that we have the safe space for children to be on Sundays, that parents can drop them off so they have that opportunity to go to worship and to hear the sermon and not have to worry about their kiddos. And at the same time, the children get to hear about God and about His love. And it is so amazing to get to be a part of that bigger picture. I had a little boy actually recently, he came up to me and he goes, you're gonna love this. And I said, okay. And he goes, did you know that Jesus died? And did you know that he was in a hole for 3 days? And it's just so cute to see their little minds start to learn that. And that is at such a young age. So during the week, a lot of what I do might seem kind of mundane. I try to find volunteers for Sunday, make sure things like nursery are stocked, connect with first-time parents. Some people might think, well, what's important about mailing a card to a first-time parent? But it's so much bigger than just a card to a first-time parent. That is inviting someone back to new life. It's all about that come as you are and become who you were created to be. And I am inviting them back to become who they were created to be. So the impact that I see with All In, with remodeling this building, with changing up the space that we have for the kids, is huge. Right now we're looking at rooms that are small, that are kind of crowded, parents that maybe don't want to drop kids off because the room's too full. That's a kiddo that doesn't get to stay to hear about God. That's maybe a parent that's now going home because they can't take their child to service. And so with All In, we're getting bigger rooms. We can invite more parents in, more families in, more kids can be at church on Sundays without having volunteers who are maybe stressed because they have so many little kiddos in such a small space. Coming to New Life over the years, especially once my life changed, it really, through just my church family, through my friends at New Life, later on through Life Group, it really gave me the opportunity to become who I was created to be. And it's really awesome to see the time in my life where I came as I was. I came as that brokenhearted person, as that person whose marriage was falling apart, as that person who was putting her hope in the wrong places, to now being who God created me to be part of this huge ministry. And the children's ministry is so amazing because now I see how it is giving children's opportunity to become who they were created to be. They get to walk the same footsteps. They get to walk through their story. So how amazing is it that we all get to be part of this huge impact that this children's ministry is making, and by everyone being all in and just taking that step of saying, I want to give everything to give these children the opportunity to take those steps in that journey of becoming who they were created to be. So exciting that you can take that step and be all in for these kiddos and for their journey with God.
And I'm pretty happy that Elena is teaching my kids about God's love. I'm pretty happy that those volunteers back there are investing in my kids. And I'm sure you are even more than you were before after seeing that. I'm excited for the day when Elena gets to walk into the new kids area, walk into that new family entrance. And when people walk in through this new family entrance, there is going to be no doubt in their minds that New Life cares about their kids and is willing to invest in their kids. I'm excited for the day when I walk into this building for the first time and I hear somebody say, hey, I heard your church has an indoor playground. So I don't know about this church stuff, but that's different and I'm curious. I'm interested. And my kids like fun stuff. And so I just came to see what it's like. That's going to happen. I'm going to hear somebody say that. Somebody is going to walk through the doors and is going to end up hearing the gospel message because of an indoor playground, which sounds silly. So we're ready, and this thing's happening, and so we're just kind of finishing up some logistics here, and then we're going to go through a time of dirt and construction and that kind of stuff. And so New Life needs you now, and all of us really is the only way this is going to happen is if we all pitch in together to make a 3-year commitment to give to All In. When you sat down today, you either sat on or moved a card that looks like this. And if you're willing to make a 3-year commitment to give to All In, either annually or monthly or weekly, however you want to do it, would you let us know on this card? You can put the total amount you plan to give over the 3 years at the top and then pick one of the lines below. You don't need to fill out all those lines. Tell us how you plan to give that. That will help us make this happen. For everybody who does make a 3-year commitment, a mission that we partner with in Honduras makes these metal signs. No two sign is alike. Actually, on here is a card of the name of the missionary, that the artisan who made this one. And for everybody who makes a 3-year commitment, we're going to give you one of these signs. You'll get an email that explains to you how to do that. Just as our way of saying thank you, it says home. They made this especially for us. I talked earlier about this idea of being a home to people who need a home in Gillette. So this is influenced by that idea. If you plan to give a one-time give to, thank you. That actually helps us get started. And so we're not saying you have to give a 3-year commitment, but that's the primary ask of this. And just to get the logistics out of the way, you're going to fill out a card. You're going to turn in the card, or you can fill out the card at newlifegillette.com/all-in. But then you actually have to do the step of setting up the gift later. Or even now, you can do that. So you fill out the card. That's kind of a legal document that helps us get the project underway. And then also either give the check or set up the recurring donation online. That also has to happen as well. And I think those of you who've already been praying about how you're going to participate, we thank you for doing that, for going through this process of spiritual growth with us. My wife and I have been on that journey as well. It's been some back and forth. Because for some reason, when we prayed about the number, her number kept coming back as larger than my number. So she's more spiritual than I am. We're going to follow in the footsteps of Pastor Paul and Karen, and we're going to do a second tithe, Darcy and I are. So we're going to give another 10% of our income. We tithe 10% of our income to the church, but we're going to give a second 10% and divide that 10% over the next 3 years. And that's what we're committing. And so what I want to say to you is, whatever God is leading you to give, I don't know where you are financially. I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey, but wherever it is, some of you will be able to give hundreds of dollars, and some of you will be able, maybe somebody can give $100,000. I don't know what it is, but wherever you are, wherever God is leading you, thank you. Thank you for being faithful to invest in the next generation, because this is a big deal and this is important for us to do. So we're going to pray. And while I pray, you can pray, continue the prayer of how you should fill out that card. And then right after the prayer, go ahead and fill out the card. They're going to sing that all-in song that we opened this series with towards the end of the song, so you have a little bit of time. The ushers are going to come with some buckets, and they're going to hand the buckets down the aisles. You can drop your card, and if you're doing a one-time donation, you can drop that in the bucket as well. But you can turn those in, and then you'll get an email in the mail, or in your email, email in the mail. You'll get an email that tells you how you can set up your donation, and then also how you can get your sign if you're making a three-year commitment. So let's pray. God, today I thank you for how you are working in people's lives, that you are drawing people to yourself, that it is not our responsibility to make this Christian growth happen, but we trust in your Holy Spirit to do what we cannot. Help us to be faithful when we can with the gifts and the opportunities you've given us. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.